Welcome to the Mindset Makeover. During this unique show, hosts Lisa Berry and Michelle Carter accompany you on a journey of mindful thinking, true feeling, and clearing mind chatter, all to align you with deep answers and multiple possibilities that help you move forward and live in the now. You become present, clear, and unstuck, and able to live fully led by your heart. Michelle and Lisa invite you to listen and feel this transformation through vibration of word, sound, and song. Open up to what's possible and experience a shift.
Hello, and welcome to the Mindset Makeover, What's Possible, the show that shifts. I'm Lisa Berry.
Hello, and I'm Michelle Carter. Hi.
Hello, Michelle Carter. Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. As I mentioned to you before, I'm always excited, but I'm super, like, heartfelt excited about the show today because there are so many reasons why we do the show, but the reason I really want to bring up is all about what we even say. It's the show that shifts, and there's reasons why shifts happen, and I think we, in the very title of What's Possible, what has happened before what's possible is a shift has to somehow come, like, for us to, like, see it, feel it, believe it, and do it. Like, all those what's possible. Like, you can't just jump into what's possible, right? You have to have a shift. So,
Absolutely. Today,
Michelle and I are going to share, and we're actually going to review all of the things that have either inspired, taught us, supported us, as we take you down our little journey on memory lane of our transformation. Woohoo!
Yay!
I know, you're so... you know, I want to kick this off with, it's so funny because just a little while ago, Michelle, you were doing something and you were gathering information and going through stuff, and one of the requests of you to submit this thing, I can't remember like the proper word of it, but you had to track down an old teacher that really...
Oh, yeah, I did. My favorite singing teacher of all time, yeah. She shifted my life, for sure.
See, that's why I want to bring her up, just to show to everybody that, because I want you to tell us your experience with her a little bit, like just in general, because a lot of, like, people can often go down memory lane and they'll say, oh, I remember that, you know, so-and-so, Mrs. or Mr. So-and-so, and I just love them because of this. Now, we can't just, you know, carry them around like a book in our pocket, but there are things like books and documentaries and music and stuff that have shaped us, and that's what we're going to share, but just because I know that everybody can relate to having a favorite mentor or teacher, do you want to share about Mrs. Booker with us, or like just why she was?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What is it about?
Everything about her. She was amazing because she knew how to, I started lessons when I was 11, and she just knew how to talk to me. And it wasn't always just about music, because of course, you know, you're a teenager, you're going through all sorts of ridiculousness, even though it's kind of life, but still. She just always knew how to, of course I did music and everything, but she always knew how to talk to me like she was, I don't even know how to explain it, but she was always there with me and made my 12, 13, 14 year old problems all have validity, and she would hear me and it was really amazing because I feel a lot of, not all adults, but like when I was a kid, especially, you know, you have some teachers that they probably shouldn't be in the teaching profession because they don't know how to talk to kids. And then other ones that do, that really know how to relate. And the thing is, I was very successful studying with her. I did really, really well. And, you know, I'm obviously still doing music, and I went on to study music. And a big part of it was just her ability to relate to anything I was going through. And it was really funny because my mom one time, because there's times we would just talk, and she said to my mom, she's like, oh, you know, don't pay me for last lesson. We were just talking. My mom goes, you are cheaper than therapy. I will always pay you. But she was the best teacher. And I think of so many stories. Like, I got in this huge fight with my stupid boyfriend, and, you know, just high school drama. And he shows up at my lesson, like, all dramatic with sunflower perfume. And remember sunflower from the 90s? And a rose. And, like, she was just so gracious about all his drama.
Love roses.
But then at the same time, I always learned so much. Like, I remember everything I learned with her, too. And so I think her biggest gift was her ability to, obviously she was very knowledgeable in what she did. She was an incredible music teacher, but it was also her ability to relate to me. Like, I remember her teaching me how to do a certain makeup and stuff. She was just amazing. Amazing person.
She is what she's doing, covering it. You're right. Your mom was very grateful for that. Well, and I think that's where, when I think of all, I have these, like, seriously dramatic, epic moments in my life where I knew I had experienced a shift. I had experienced something like, oh my gosh, from now moving forward, my life is different. And sometimes it was, you know, when you're growing up, you do, you have these mentors, you have teachers, but then we become adults. And so maybe we're not always taking classes and courses or going through things. And now we have a job and we're working and we're still trying to find ourselves and we're still trying to find this deeper meaning. And we're also trying to find a way to do the thing that we have chosen to do in a way that is best for us. And oh my gosh, there's probably so, I have to like narrow it down, because as I was going through the list of my stories, it feels like I have had multiple shifts throughout my life. But I do remember.
Well, of course you have.
Yay! Well, the neat thing was that this was going back, I don't even know how long. I was working at my first company, the first weight loss company I'd worked for. And I was still in my teens. And it was so random because I wasn't even really friends with the coworkers. There's only two people to a clinic. And she just hands me over. She goes, I don't know why. She goes, I don't know much about you. But I'm back in the day, this was cassettes. We had cassette tapes. And she hands me this box set of cassette tapes, and it was called Conversations with God. And first
Do
you remember?
Conversations with God is awesome. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. I know all this stuff. I grew up with Willie Carter.
Exactly. And the funny thing was, when she first handed it to me, I was like, oh my gosh, somebody's trying, because, you know, I had my back up a little bit. I'm like, I was being very polite, like, oh, okay, I love learning. But then I thought, oh goodness, is somebody trying to get me in a cult? Is she trying to change my religion? And, you know, but there's something about it. And you know what? I did have a half hour drive to work and a half hour back every day. And I had a cassette player in my minivan. So I jumped in and I started listening, and I realized that, first of all, oh my gosh, books on read audio was a whole new concept to me. I was like, are you kidding me? Does it exist? Like, life is already amazing now. And I was transported into another world, another way of thinking every day for the next cassette tape days that it took me. And I remember right after that, too, I even shared it with my dad, who listened to it. Then we got to have a conversation, which is funny, conversations with God turned into conversations with my dad.
Conversations with dad.
People do this. People are allowed to explore this out loud. People are allowed to record this and talk about these kind of questions about the universe and religion and why we exist and what we. It actually was so. I was kind of in my own. Have you ever watched a movie and you can't shake the movie? You've watched the movie and now you're like, oh my gosh, I can't stop. I've left the theater. You know, left your room, and you're like, oh,
yeah,
God, I'm so altered right now.
I didn't listen. I mean, I've read parts of the book, and I just always knew. I'm laughing because, you know, as you talked about earlier, it's like memory lane. I start laughing because I forget about all these things because I've been this weirdo kid my whole life. And I remember my poor parents. I was 15 years old. We were in Arizona. We were driving down to Mexico. We were on a family trip, and I found Diet for a New America. And so I was reading it. At the same time, I was reading Diet for a New America, and it's all about, like, you know, the conscious food and all the stuff. And I was 15. And on top of it, I had this little, which I still have, it's right in front of me, I can see it. This is what sparked this and you talking about memory lane. And I had this little, or what are they called? They're not Ornica, but like little whistle. And I'm in a minivan with my mom and dad and brother, and I'm playing this little whistle. Playing the whistle, like such an annoying kid, and telling them all about, like, oh, you can't eat chicken with the factories, and like just totally that kid.
Oh,
and there always was. I just think how funny it was that I was playing a whistle, and my parents should have thrown me out on the side of the road in Arizona. Like, been like, get out of here.
You remind me. You know how they say, who is it? Oh, my goodness. Oh, forgive me, everybody. If I'm going to say that I don't even know the proper angel, but there's an angel, like, not Archangel, which is Gabriel, and he sounds the trumpets because it's a big announcement. And it's like you were, like, blowing your whistle. Diet for America.
I totally remember remember that book? Being that you're a diet person, do you remember Diet for a New World, Diet for a New America? Oh, yeah, that's the I was all about that book.
Yeah. And there was Diet for a New World, thing too. Is now I'm going to have to look both of them up because I think it's all, you know, it's still.
I
want to
reread it now.
Yes, you should. And that's the fun part. That's why I want everybody to hear all these things that have perhaps like really had a thing on. So I remember that being the first like audiobook and book and moving forward thing. And then, a couple of years later, I got married and my mother-in-law, she gave me this book, Marcia Weider. Oh my gosh. At first it was like, and she's a dream coach. And why I was so, the only reason why I read this book at first, because I liked the word dream. It wasn't goal setting 101 or, you know, how to achieve. It was dream coach. I thought, now this is something I can sink my teeth into because language comfort, being comfortable with language is so important to me because it means like what you had said about your teacher, she related to you and she was able to get you. She was teaching you things. But yeah, so, and when I was reading this, that book changed my career. Great, that book, I think there's every word is circled because I loved every word, but I relate to her. I looked her up. I'm so excited now after, you know, it's been 20 years now that I've followed her and known about her and stuff. And I've signed up to her, you know, Dream University and found things from there. But then I'm jumping so quickly because I have to say this one thing. I watched my first documentary and somebody should have told me what documentaries do. Documentaries reveal really scary stuff. And here I am in my comfort zone with conversations with God and dream coach, and all of a sudden I watch Inconvenient Truth. Well, I sit in my house for 3 days. I was all alone. This documentary rocked my world. And then I write them and say, oh, no, oh, my gosh, I'm stuck up. Okay, everybody, I'm back to find out how I escaped my 3 days of solitude after this horrible, scary, amazing movie.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Join me, Maggie Chula, on Mondays at noon Eastern for Mastermind with Maggie. Let's work together in a mastermind. We can resolve life's problems and create goals for the future. Build action steps empowering you to create your life in partnership with your divine source of light, your soul. Manifesting your goals can be simple and easy, so come with your problems and leave with a plan. The Akashic Master Teachers and I are waiting to help you.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello and welcome back. I know everybody's dying to find out what happened. Okay, so Michelle, as I was saying, I'd watched my first, I think it was my, I'm sure my mom had watched lots of documentaries growing up, but I was watching Inconvenient Truth. I was rocked and shaken by this world. You know, I was oblivious. I thought well, the world was absolutely perfect and happy, of course, before this, you know, people just suffering from the desire to lose weight. And I don't think I've ever cried so hard in my life. But I realized that movie is that there's things to be learned and realized. However, I also, from that point forward, I only want to watch documentaries if they either created them in a way, or I could then look it up, that there was hope like, first of all, they would give me direction. So at the end of the movie, they don't just leave me feeling really scared and lonely and horrible and angry, but that there was hope and possibilities. And if we did this, or there's a way to do that, or what could be my role on a global scale or a small scale, just individually. So I realized the power of documentaries, and about when people experience new things, you can't just leave them alone and they need support. I think it was 2007, but that was like the big thing. So do you have something like that that was more, not maybe life changing so dramatically and traumatically, but it's something that you were called of?
I've had so many funny, most of my things are funny. Well, the funny part was, like we talked before, and like, oh, I've just been corrected too. It's not Diet for a New World. It's that there is Diet for a new
America.
America, and there is Diet
America.
For a New Planet. By Diet for a New Planet is one, just, I want to be stand that I've been informed that that's the right name. So people don't go and look for it. It's not New World, it's New Planet. They have two of them. There's two.
Yes.
So anyway,
the New America is actually the one by New America is actually by John Robbins. So John Robbins have Ocean Robbins, his son, do Food Revolution, which is one of my favorite things.
This once either. Like, we've never talked about that once. That's really weird. Like we've talked about before, because I was sort of raised, because as we always talk about, the magical Willie Carter.
Willie Carter.
I was raised with a lot of this stuff. So it's just like I'd sort of become, I'd learn a lot of stuff by osmosis, because, you know, some book my mom was reading or course she was in. Like, I still joke how I'm like, I'm not like, you know, falling off. What is it? The branch off. What is the saying? Don't fall far from the tree. Is that what it is?
The tree doesn't fall far from the apple.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Anyway, I always tell my mom I'm a branch, because I'm like still doing all these courses, all these things. Big life changing. I took a recent course a couple years ago.
Yes.
Sorry? No, I mean, I've had a lot of moments that were big, big shifts, like a huge shift. Actually, we used to go, it was my mom, Mike, and Mike's mom used to go see this channeler. Oh, what was his name? This is crazy. It's going to make me nuts. But I know Paul Armitage played the music. I remember, Greg Brayton. Was it Greg Brayton?
Of course you remember the musician.
And of course, I know. But we used to go see this channeler. I was like 19, and I just loved it, because it was so out there, and it was so great. And it was out there, but it wasn't out there. It felt very practical. And I love stuff that takes us out of, even though I'm pretty practical in life, but I loved being at that time period where, you know, you can totally, you're out of high school, all this stuff. You can totally think for yourself. Not that I ever didn't think for myself, but I really loved going to see that channeler. And for me, I mean, I've read lots of great books that I loved. Who doesn't love? I mean, maybe some people don't love, but I love Celestine Prophecy. That was another, because I love the story of it and the magic of it. Anything that was magical and kind of took us out of just the three-dimensional thinking.
I think you're bringing that perfectly. When you just said
Craig Russell.
You always
Craig Russell.
Yourself. Oh, what's his name?
For the channel is Craig Russell. I'm so glad my mom listens. It's like having
somebody. Oh, right, you're
helping,
like, guiding you along. This is the thing that I want to specifically do this review, and not just like just us like going down memory lane. But the reason was, sometimes we do think for ourselves every day, but it's fun or helpful to have experience a shift when we do listen to somebody like a channeler or a book. Oh, I would call them fables, because Robin Sharma, who wrote The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, he wrote multiple books, but they're more fables. So it's not, you know, like you and I are expressing. It's, you have your own thoughts and you are in your world. So when somebody shifts your paradigm by opening you up to their new world or their new thoughts, and so something like when you were to visit, I don't know what it's called, oh my goodness, go to see the channel, or like it was in a group setting, and do you remember a specific time where you went?
Oh, totally. It was
God.
We used to go every week, and it was really awesome, because he was really great. He would just, you know, he would channel messages. Oh, at the same time, too, I remember I was really into the Abraham stuff, which is also, Abraham's amazing.
Abraham Hicks.
Yeah. So at that time, I mean, I was super, I had just left music school, and I was just super into wanting to find any and all information of, like, you know, the higher beings, what this was all about. So I love channeling because it was just, you know, in one way, channeling is from the higher beings giving a different perspective. And I loved it. Yeah. So, yeah, we used to go once a week. We met for quite a while. And it was like a duo. It was great. Actually, it was kind of like us. It was you talking and then and then Paul Armitage doing the music. It was, and they would just sit there and he'd be like, while he was channeling. It was great. I loved it.
That's like really funny.
But I remember that was at a... And I know. Hello?
Oh, so my headset just... I'm back.
Oh.
You know what's funny? There are two specific songs. You probably know them. I think so many people are going to be familiar with this, but it's a nice reminder, is Om Mani Padme Hum. So that's... I remember when I first started... What?
Because I think it's funny. Like, I didn't even know about that till I met you. For real. No joke.
Oh, my God. Okay, ready for this? My mom knew about it, and I was like, how do you know about it? She's like, I was a hippie. And I was laughing so hard, but this is the strangest thing. So this is very weird. It is very weird, and I can't believe I'm going to share this because I'm not putting them in a bad light, but it's the only time I'll put my cats in a negative light here. But I love Om Mani Padme Hum, and I also love Om Bhur Bhur Basvaha. And you know what? The cats do not like when I put it on. They actually start screaming or run away and hide. And they're like, what is the most famous song your mama ever loved? And Brink actually, at one point, he looked at me and screamed, like, because they're bangles, they're loud. And he just looked at me like, turn it off! And he doesn't like bells either and stuff. So I don't think he's a spiritual cat. But
he can be spiritual in his own way. Hey, you know what, though? I'm going to say this right now, because you don't have to be listening. For anyone that here is listening and doesn't like, you know, some people don't like bells and don't like the ceremony and don't like all, like, they really like the practical. It doesn't make you any less spiritual because you don't, I know we're talking about a cat, but I'm saying in humans, it doesn't make you any less spiritual because you don't like bells or you don't, because a lot of people don't like that stuff, but they could have an amazing connection with the source,
oh my gosh,
whatever that may be.
I totally picked on him and categorize
he just has discerning taste.
He does. Maybe he's just like, hey, I just like the drums. But actually, fun speaking about that.
Maybe he likes blues.
One other thing I do. He probably does. He's more like a swagger kind of cat. But you know what?
I think he has swagger.
For the people. Two things that are, you know, like you just said, I love that you brought that up. You don't always have to be spiritual, like, you know, super into this, not to be spiritual, because there's something by Bruce Lipton, and it's the biology of belief. And let me tell you, that was one totally obsessed with, because it brought in human being nature, the biology, you know, the biology of belief. It took into account science and spirituality and pulled it all together.
Oh, is that a book?
And that was really... Oh, my gosh, it's a phenomenal book, and I have it on audio, of course.
I want to read it.
And I remember I would have only cleaned my apartment at the time for about 2 hours, but I did take the 4 hours because I couldn't stop listening to it, so I kept cleaning everything and everything. And it really, really, I don't know if I want to make sure we don't. So you know what the thing is when they say about biology of belief, this is where it already shifted for me in my own belief in my life, but then when I listened to it, it kind of proved, like, now when I said to people, be careful what you believe because you will manifest it, like your own cells, your DNA will create this. It actually gave me that leverage, that scientific leverage behind it, that proof, that validation, that at least the shift felt more secure now, right? Like, you know, you can have a stream of belief, but you're not quite secure. And that, yeah, so Bruce Lipton, Biology Belief, phenomenal. It's a really cool cover on it too, actually. But yeah, so both of you and I are going to be doing our review and refrain, but you had a story you wanted to share. I'm putting you on the spot, but you mentioned you had a funny story.
I have so many stories. Well, this is not that helpful to anyone because it's not about a book or anything. But I do remember at a time, like, we're talking about something that shifted us. This is ridiculous. It shifted us. Again, I think I was 19 or 20. And I was really, really into, actually, Craig Russell did do this. It was like this little ceremony called the Violet Flame. I can't fully remember it, but I did it. I was at my parents' house and I would go down to the river every night and I'd do this whole like ceremony cleansing of the Violet Flame. I wish I could remember it. I was super into it. And then at the same point, and I think that was really cool because, my parents lived on this gorgeous property out, and so you'd be able to walk. They had a deck that went out into the water, so I could go out there and on the river and just do the violet flame every day. But the funny part of the story, at the same point, I was working at this coffee shop and I decided I was only going to wear purple, but everything, like everything had to be purple. So I'm doing the violet flame, like I'm talking everything, underwear, socks, everything purple. Like I could not wear a different color. And I managed to do that for 6 whole months. At the same time, I carried a statue around with me all the time. I had this wooden statue and I carried it around with me everywhere. And I remember I ran into one of my friends who was not into any, no one was ever into this stuff. This was always stuff I was making up. And then she goes, "Why do you have that stupid statue with you?" And I'm like, "I need it." And she's like, "Why do you need it?" And I'm like, "Because I do." And then I remember it was one day I was sitting there wearing all purple, look at my statue, and I go, "I don't need you anymore." And I walked down to the water, threw it in the river, and the river had a really strong current, and there went the statue. And it was like, I was just done. I needed it for that period of time. But I'm done. I mean, I could tell stories all day long of weird stuff that I've done, but like, I was so committed, and that's what I needed at the time for whatever reason. And it, like, I look back and I think it's hilarious, but it was very important for whatever reason at the time.
You know, what's funny is that I actually pulled up the violet flame while you were saying that, because I love that it's about this. It's actually about self-transformation, about clearing. It's about clearing. You're all about clearing. And it's so funny how it actually transmutes, like, not injuries, but self-hurt, painful things and changes of it. And you actually did that your very self, because you actually took everybody needs something at some point. That's why the show is this. That's why we want to share with you things. We ask the universe, we ask whoever and say, "I need help. I am asking for something." And then that something shows up in whatever way. And when we have that courage to say yes to it, like with conversations with God, at first I was like, "Oh, I don't have the courage because this could be a cult, you know?" But then I had the courage to say, "Okay, I'm listen to it." And then we learn or we grow or we have a shift or something. And then as we build our support system, oh, shooty, shoot, shoot. Okay.
If
you just want to go, let's come back. Okay, why don't we go back?
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Every Tuesday on Living with Moxie, join Shefali Burns and Donna Martouge in conversations designed to take you to the next level, where we highlight ideas, resources, and strategies that provide you with the leverage you require to meet and exceed your business and personal goals. Each week on Living with Moxie, we will lead conversations related to success, achievement, fulfillment, and extraordinary, vibrant living. Are you ready to live with Moxie? Join us.
There is no death, only a change of worlds. Chief Seattle. Deborah Livingston is an award-winning intuitive psychic medium whose international services include mediumship, spiritual assessment, animal communication, and spiritual mentoring. She is a published author and a trained shaman. Deborah provides evidential messages from spirit and departed loved ones. Learn more at deblivmedium.com. That's D-E-B-L-I-V medium.com.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Think this is going to go down in the history of the show, that the commercials have been, they're so sneaky up the back. Who saw us? On me. Oh, so I was so excited to say that as as we go through these transformations and we are open to the shift and take the courage to accept it and go in their life, then the thing, whatever it is, a person, a story, but we can actually set it aside. And then it's really great to revisit at times. Like, so you've truly nostalgic. I mean, I don't think, well, who knows? That statue may show up in your life sometime down the road. But it's
no, I think it was
showing
someone
up now.
I think someone needed that statue. I give away stuff very easily. Like, I do this all the time. Like, I get something, I give it away. That's just how it is. I get something new and I give the old thing away, but I also find so many cool things. And I bet you in that person, because that statue was given to me, I bet you in someone saw that statue and they're like, this is amazing. Yeah, that's how I think, that's what I think went down. Because I didn't get rid of it out of anything bad. I was just like, I'm done with you.
Oh, right. Well, so no, but you also, but no, yeah, the original thing was you no longer needed it. Like, meaning it was time to,
I didn't
to
need
give it,
it
away.
No,
for whatever
I didn't
reason.
Need
like, yeah. And that's the cool thing is that as we rethink, so I wish I gave a book away that I did take a picture on a phone that no longer exists, so I thought I had it, but I don't. But I do remember somebody, it was one of my clients, my weight loss clinics, they went to a motivational seminar at their work, and that person who was doing it gave their book out, you know, in the beginning as a promo to help or support. And then in turn, they gave this book to me. And this again, this was back in 2006 or 7, no, 2006. And it was funny because it was divided into something the awakening. I can't remember. It was like a cream color thing with a red dragon on the front of it. And I thought, ooh, all right, but a picture, you know, it was like you're drawn to, I love labels, you know, it's like on bottles and things. But so I was looking at the label and it was divided into two halves, and one was for the conscious and one was for the subconscious. And I kept going back. I use this book as a reference book. It was just, I couldn't believe so much was written on what would seem like two small things. They're not conscious and subconscious, like it's like everything. But it was time to share it or whatever that word may be, and to recycle it. But I do remember there's so many of these, whether I talk a lot about books because I do read a lot of things, and then the songs, you know, the Om Mani Padme Hum and that, but they're also little poems or affirmations. You must have. Oh my goodness, Michelle, you probably do. Do you have little quote books or affirmations that, you know, like, would be considered a coffee table book?
Yeah, no, I have like the four agreements. Ooh, another thing that's huge in for me and my whole family life, like everyone in my, especially my mom's side of the family, we all do cards. So there's cards like everywhere. There's always unicorn cards, fairy cards. And like you go to my parents' house on the table, cards, and then people come over for tea and everybody grabs a card. Like that's just how it is. So cards are really, like, you know, the cards that you ask a question and pick up a card. That's been part of, like, I mean, my whole family culture, I think, growing up. So those are really, I kind of have stuff like that all over the place. But
I have to make a joke. It's the Carter card culture.
The Carter card culture. That's really funny.
Oh, coffee table.
But it's, I think,
too.
Coffee table, Carter card, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, everybody, sorry, on my mom's side especially, everybody loves the cards because they're great and they're simple and they, you know, you get an answer immediately. So I love having, I mean, I have positive stuff written all over the place. I think it's great to have as many things around you that make you happy. As I look in front of me, I have a huge sign on the wall that says, do what makes you happy. It's a huge frame thing.
I know, and these things are really fun because it's not that you won't do, but it puts it into your conscious. Basically, we're back to biology of belief here, because it really is. And I remember in my last apartment, I had little pieces of paper stuck like that I handwrote, which I write as quickly as I speak, and so it's really messy. But I can read it, and I have them all over the place, just all the. And then my favorite one was on the way out the door, like I think. But with all of these things, I remember when I didn't have them in my life, and then you're down to, you know, just regular existence, we'll call it. I don't know, lack a better word there. But, you know, you're just putzing around, living life, doing what you're doing. But you feel like this whole show, you, in your mind, you're, what is possible? Like, when you start to be able to look at what's possible, I think it's so, so fun. It's like playing. You get to play, finally. Yeah. And speaking of playing, oh, this is really fun. So I went through this horrendous, horrendous time. And the only reason why it was a horrendous time in my life, more than anything, like besides all the details of why life was horrendous, the horrendous feeling was I felt alone and scared, and I wasn't safe. And as you and I talk about all the time, safety matters. And this is personal safety, like, yes, of course, physical safety and stuff. But if you do not feel safe, you really can't go much further than that. So if I may, I'd like to share it's my story that's actually on the websites and different things like that. I share the story quite often. But in the story, this is why I want to read the story, is I talk about a show, Healing with the Masters, who's Jennifer McLean, who I did not even know this existed on the internet, that there's people like Michelle, like you, like us, like your mom, like, and like Om Times. I never knew. And then when I found it, which actually, I'm going to read the story, okay? And then it's actually in there. It's not very long at all. Are you ready?
I love this. I'm ready. I love this story.
story time. Okay. Okay. So this is me, Lisa. It was my 15th attempt at trying to make a home, maintain stability in less than 10 years. My life had become anorexic, carrying only a few bags as the weight I lugged around with me each move got lighter and lighter. You see, the less I had, the more I could control it, and the less I could lose and be hurt. I slowly began to identify with having nothing but myself, but it brought with it a dichotomy of enjoying the freedom while suffering and mourning each move as it felt like a death of failure. Selfish, very selfish, withdrawn and scared, I pulled away from everything and yet was grasping onto anything. I needed to gain true control of my life to serve my highest self that I could sense was still in me somewhere. Shockingly, it was the internet that helped me to harness that sense and to nurture it and to grow it. And here I was, a published writer, a regular television guest and contributor, a solid holistic nutritionist and coach myself, and I was lonely, hopeless, and depressed. I didn't see it coming. In one moment, one breakthrough, I'm going to add here one shift, my life changed. It was a hot summer day. I was sitting outside on a yoga mat in the grass with Brinks, my kitties, and my my laptop, barely able to see the screen from the glare of the sun, and I stumbled across a telesummit called Healing with the Masters, created by Jennifer McLean. The guest speakers became my friends. They gave me hope, and I began to speak of them as if they were by my side and existed in my real world. I needed them. I needed them to prove to me, to have courage to prove to myself and others that there was a better, glorious, abundant way. That summit not only led me to multiple other summits and shows, like Lisa Gard, love her so much, but it saved my life and inspired me to do the same for others, which is already my gift that I was hiding. The breakthrough to choice and responsibility for my highest self was what I needed. And almost 3 years later, that was a year ago, almost 3 years later, at the same address, confident, empowered, peaceful, and joyful, and able to support all listeners and people in my life on their journey of discovery and great transition. And the reason why I want to share that story so much is I was truly at a very scary place. And it was through just reaching out and listening to and knowing that there are people that can, if they can just see that there's a shift, what's possible, and not feel alone and find that safe place, that they can move forward. So all these stories, Michelle, that you have from your thing, like you grew up in that kind of a world, but there are still things that stand out even more on top of all of the, if you have 10 amazing things, there's probably two that still are super amazing, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's weird of all stories. Yeah, no, but you had said, I was just about to say before you read the story that it's important to have some type, and it might be through a book, it might not be the peers in your life, but to have some type of support too. Like, I've been very lucky because I do have support even in my family. So I am very lucky. I know I always talk about my mom, but like, it's great to have that type of support and someone you can talk to, and not everybody has that. So you do find it through, it could be through books or through like-minded people, and exactly what you said about Om Times, and it creates this like-minded environment for people to connect.
But here's the thing I'm going to say is that right now you and I are talking, you and I are sharing, but we are talking to each other, but we're talking to everyone who's listening. And I want everybody who's listening, because I feel when I listen to shows that they were really there for me and they're talking to me. And I want to let everybody listening know that we are talking to you. We are here for you. And that's why we do invite you to our Facebook page and to our website to email us to do those things. Because I remember when I was challenged, like really heavily bullied, and said, what makes you think that anybody even does what you think you want to do in your life? And I'm like, you know what? I have a lot of friends that do it. You know, and they were really not my friends, but they were on the radio show. And I'm thinking, I believed in them because they stood with their strength I was witnessing their success and happiness of their highest self. And really, I did. I used them. I was like, yep, they're my friends. And even if I was challenged on that, like, you don't even know them. Are you kidding me? I listen and talk to them every day.
No, but it's totally, look how you're totally right though. I get like that. You know how I get like that with like any guru that I thought I'm into for yoga or ballet or whatever it is I'm into at the moment. I become obsessed with the people, and then I want all their books. I want everything they've ever done. Like, I totally understand that. When I love someone, you feel like they are talking to you. They're like, you get me. You're my friend.
It's so necessary. So, and speaking of that, I know every show we ask people to email us something, but I'm getting fancy because I don't even know if I'm asking this correctly. Michelle, you can help me. I would love it if people would just jump on our Facebook page and post their favorite book, their favorite documentary, their favorite mantra, something that's been transformational,
inspiring. Oh, that's fun. I like that idea.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so our Facebook page, can you help people? Where do they go?
It's Facebook 432 Shift. So you go to facebook.com/432fit. I was going to say 432 fish. That's a very different website, but shift.
So everybody jump on there. You can't do it. I don't know if you can do it. We don't want you to be anonymous. We want you to share in this goodness so that we are all friends. Like, that's why I call Facebook friends. Oh my gosh. Sorry. That's a little bit corny, but I just realized that.
Yeah, so I love this idea. Anything, anybody post anything that inspires you. And I know as Lisa and I talk, we have 1 minute before we go to commercial. And what I want to say before we go to commercial is that Lisa and I talk about this all the time. Here's another big plug from my mom's book, but that is a big transformational book. Find signals and clues. I use those concepts in every day. Every day I think of that. Like, my whole world is directed by signs. So it's funny that that was written by my mom in such a big piece of my life, but it's very true. It's an amazing book.
I actually think that Signs, Signals, and Clues I'm going to actually title this in my own world as the foundation to shift. It's the book. It would be the book that creates the foundation for all shifts. So if anybody's really like, I have nowhere to start, I'm overwhelmed, I don't know what to do, if they read Signs, Signals, and Clues by Willie Carter, it absolutely gives you the foundation in a very fun, very down-to-earth, very practical. Michelle loves that word. Practical
and easy. It's easy.
There we go. And we'll come on.
Here's the commercial.
Post now.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Mother Ocean. Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
To our last little segment of going down our memory lane of transformation. The thing I want to make sure that I mentioned, the really fun part about what shows up, and you won't know it as it's happening, but when you're older and when it's already happened, you look back like you are going down the memory lane, like, oh, and maybe you're making a recommendation for somebody else, is that the things I would think in my Lisa world that have made, why they've made the biggest shift, is that they were written or opened up to me in the language that made me feel really good. And the biggest thing to me is it's cooperation versus competition. A lot of things that we read can, you know, I'm going to say this, the average, the common newspaper, the news channels, the things that we, you know, are bombarded by and look at and stuff, it's a lot of competition. Or even think of those, we'll call them motivational seminars, but I really mean the other, like a business one that's like, you've got to get out there and beat that person and do this. It's not a personal thing. It's more like you've got to be better than the rest, but not because you're being better than the rest, because, like, you know what I mean? It's a very competition kind of field. And that makes you, it doesn't make you feel good. So the one thing is to really get to know yourself. And that's what transformation is about, is as you get to know yourself, it's more a reveal than it is a transformation. And as is a fun segue, because as we learn about ourselves and we reveal to ourselves who we are, we then can transform the areas in our lives that are most important. And you, in fact, have a very special friend that we're going to be bringing on as a guest who can help you reveal those things about yourself. Would you like to share our next guest?
Oh, yes. Next week. Super excited about this. Next week, we are going to be having the amazing, incredible psychic Erin Lawson. She's ridiculous. She's so good. Like, I know so many people that have went to her, and everyone has the most unique experience with her. She has such a gift. I've been to a lot of psychics in my life too. And I love her. She is so, here I'm going to say it again, practical and down to earth, but like a crazy super connection with the other world. And I just love her. So she's going to be a guest next week. And I know we're bombarding you with a lot of requests, but if anybody wants to write us in and may have a question, and we on air can ask her that question, and you can tune in and hear what she has to say about your question. So, I mean, that's pretty awesome. I'd be writing in right now. So yes. If you want to write us at 432 Shift. Yeah. And any question that you, and if you don't mind us asking your question and directed to you on air, we'll be choosing a couple questions from listeners that Erin will be happy to answer directly for you. She's seriously amazing. So yeah, that will be next week on September 20th.
On September 20th, yes. Now, here's the really fun thing, is because I've actually had a reading with Erin as well. And as I was trying to show people, it's like right now everybody is at a place. They're at that place where they are supposed to be in their lives. And maybe you need understanding of something, or you need a little safety to move forward. These are the kind of questions that we really want to help you with, because that can help you understand about yourself so that you feel safe in your own movement through life and what you want to experience on this thing. So really that's the questions that actually we want all of our shows to help, but bringing Erin on, she's really going to like catapult your movements and your safety feeling and stuff as you begin to transform and understand. So yeah, so I just want to strengthen that question request, because we really do want to hear from you guys. I mean, Michelle and I we can go on forever. So we want to hear from you guys.
Could. We got lots of stories, never ending.
In fact, actually, we have helped, like, Michelle's been a catalyst of transformation in my life, and I think I have too in hers. But so one time I remember Michelle we all have massive shit, like a little shit. Michelle one time was, do you remember this? I remember this as if it was so long ago. Remember like less than a year ago when you got all excited about these books and you ordered them, and then you got it, but then you were like, I think Lisa needs this book. And so you packed it up and you brought it to Canada.
Oh, yeah. That book's good.
And you gave it to me.
Oh, yeah. What was the name
of
the book?
Happy Pocket Full of Money.
Oh, yeah, I love that book.
And, okay.
I knew it was
so
money something.
So I, me being the label book cover snob that I am, went, I don't like the cover. The cover's done. I don't like them. You know, like, I was like, why would they use poppies? I think of, like, Remembrance Day and Veterans, War and Death. But then anyways, you know, again, one of the best books I've ever read, because I went on to post and talk about that book, because that book changed, shifted, transformed my life. It was really about more than quantum physics. So A Happy Pocket Full of Money. Oh, it's David Gibson. There's a G and a K, and I should have looked that up prior to it, but everybody will see it in the book cover. And now I love the book cover, of course. I have a sundress in there.
I think it's so pretty, the book cover.
Well, now
see, there you go. But see, you know, you don't judge a book by its cover.
You really don't. But it also goes to show that I almost didn't read it, but because of sometimes when something's a gift, and you gave that to me, it was a gift. I felt absolutely I'm going to read this. I'm going to start it anyways because this was a gift. And sometimes maybe there's a listener out there right now. You don't even know the power of the role that you play in somebody else's life. And you could have very well, if you think about a thing, something, a book, anything that has changed your life and you gave it to somebody else, like how that could really truly affect them and change it, because it's just the gift already is the transformation. And then what is in that lesson that you learned, they'll learn in their way, in like their own perceived way.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And like you said, your own perceived way, the way you've just said that, because beauty and all that stuff, everything's in the eye of the beholder, because I thought the cover was great and then you saw it and you didn't like it. So it's so funny. A book could be great for you and it might not be great for someone else, or it could be the best thing ever. It's that whole, not to do with books at all, but the trash and treasure. Like the right. other day, I got a new desk. I put my old desk out on the street. And right as I looked out the window the next day, a guy was taking away my old desk, which weighed 1,000 pounds, on his bicycle. That made my day. I was so happy. And I was like so happy that this guy was taking the desk. But it's so great.
You're happy for so many reasons. You actually were happy.
I was thrilled.
I want to share with the listeners, Michelle was very concerned about the desk. In fact, before, like, she had given this desk a home. She cared about it a great deal. She was very concerned to be putting it out there. Would it be left alone? Would it get hurt? I hope somebody gets it. And then she became even more happy when she found out this guy was, like, taking it. Because now, like, you had given birth and gave a baby to somebody. It was so
I was so happy about it. Well, I was very concerned. It was a fine desk. I didn't want it to become a garbage desk. And it was way too heavy. I couldn't move it anywhere else. So I put it on the street. But it was great because it's Saturday and everyone was looking at it, and I'd look out the window to see if people were checking it, and I'm like, take it, and then the guy took it. I was concerned about the desk because I loved it and I didn't want it to be garbage.
Right. And, you know, that actually goes to show, because I remember when I've seen a documentary, I'm going to swing this back around, when I've seen a documentary or show and I'm like, oh, you've got to watch this. Like, I'll make you watch it. I'll stand here. Let me put it on. Why don't we sit here together? Oh, did you hear that? Let me repeat it. Let's talk about it. Like, you're so, like, mm-hmm. Sometimes it is in the giving of the gift. When I was little, up until I could no longer be grounded. I was grounded a lot. I got in trouble a lot for some reason. However, parents are very smart. I actually think maybe I just like my punishment. So my parents did not ground me the same way you, like, who cares about going to your room and no TV? I was like, yeah, score. But it's fun. But no, my dad actually, I never told him how much I liked it because then he wouldn't do it. But I had to memorize poetry. I had to learn the words. There's 10 words in the Reader's Digest, and you had to learn how to spell it, how to use it in a sentence, how to say it properly. So I had to do all this academic stuff, and I had to do charity work. Imagine, I was 11 years old, and I had to stand in the grocery store selling charity tickets for the church dinner. So it was...
You would like that, though.
I didn't as a child. As a child, I had to get over a lot of things. But the great part was that sharing poetry became a really fun and neat thing, something I would go to for help. And it was funny because the other day it was raining and I was reminded of Tiny Little Raindrops, this poem that my dad would, he would always kind of say it like a little nursery rhyme. So I never knew growing up, I didn't know that it was not a nursery rhyme or a song or a poem. And I sent that to some friends and it's just so touching because then when you share that sentiment, like this is something I remember as a child, this is what my dad used to say to me, or it's so... The transformation and the shift and things that teach us, support us the way through, they can come in so many formats, so many ways. It's in the giving of it. It's in the receiving of it. It's in the experiencing of it. And I love that we're able to share these stories with our listeners. And I really hope that people do write in onto our Facebook, 432SHIFT, on Facebook there. Just post. Just share with us, like, just one word, a title, a
post
name,
anything.
A moment.
Yeah.
Post anything. Yeah.
Post anything. I want to read these books. I want to see these things. I love hearing new stuff.
Yes. Yeah. We're doing memory lane right now, but we don't want to always just go backwards. You know, we want to go forwards. Oh, and even if maybe you've gone and seen a speaker, like what you used to, like once a week, you and your family and close friends would go and experience this. And that's to be that comfort to be able to like even bring on Aaron as our guest next week.
Oh, I'm so excited about Erin being on. She's seriously magical. I think after everyone's going to call her and book a session because they'll be like, what? You're so amazing.
So,
I know I will.
Does that mean too that you, okay, so I think what we'll do is you and I should each ask a question or something. Or we can ask a question. Ooh, you know what? Okay, I want the listeners to help support us. Like maybe there's something they go, oh gosh, I wish Michelle would know this, or I wish Lisa would know that. So we're really, really opening up this conversation. We're really opening up to Erin for next week and having her let us know what's possible. What's possible for not even themselves, maybe it's for the world, maybe it's a global scale.
It can be anything. Write us and we will ask Erin if we really, anything. You'll be amazed. Erin's a magical being.
Well, magical, like a unicorn card. I love it. So what I would like to do also too, there's a couple books and things that I would still love to share that changed the things. I'm going to create the Lisa Transformation List. It will be forever growing, I'm sure. But I want to write a few things down so that people will think, I do want to find out what Lisa and Michelle, what's going on in their world, because there's a few things. Like I think I brought up food. Yes, I did bring up Food Revolution because of Ocean and John that we talked about with the New America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll put a list on our website. So if you go to 432Shift, we will have a list of anything that, and maybe we'll add some of the stuff that you put on Facebook. We'll anything that inspires us.
I think we should
do that. All inspire each other.
Woo-hoo! And support. Okay.
Well, thank you
for writing
your
questions for Erin. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.